Hello friends, welcome to Electronics Clap's Insights Conversation. Today, we have with us Makim Plokhotnik, the CEO and co-founder of Atlant 3D Nanosystems, a passionate entrepreneur, nanoscientist, and founder of a deep tech startup. He envisions democratizing access to micro and nanotechnology on a global scale. His vision goes beyond this, as Maxim looks at enhancing on-demand, automatically precise advanced manufacturing on Earth. Startups are quite innovative on their approach and nature, and Makim is leading the way through his venture. Today, we will understand more about the atomic layer advanced manufacturing technique, how it will transform the world for better, and more. So welcome, Makim, to Insights Conversation with Electronics Clap.
Thank you, Anamika. It's a great pleasure and honor to be here with you, and thank you for inviting for this conversation. So I believe I can tell a few words about myself. I live now in Denmark, where I founded initially the company, and together with my co-founders, Ivan Kundrata and Professor Julian Bachmann. I live in Denmark for 7 years. I came here to do my PhD in micro nanotechnology, and then I stayed also for the postdoc in the same field. And during this stay, the original idea came up, and we started the company. Mm-hmm. I am originally from Ukraine, where I also got a master degree in micro nanotechnology, and I have a double master degree and one more from US in the same field on a Fulbright scholarship. Actually, from all my early career until now, I was dreaming to make a company, and I think this was just a very lucky moment when I could start Atlant 3D Nanosystems as a company. And the brilliant or very interesting idea came up, and this is something that triggered us, I mean, all the founders, to move forward with this.
That's nice, Makim. And I know you have your company is the first in the world to develop the atomic layer advanced manufacturing technique. And we will talk about this technique also during our conversation.
Yes, this is, we started with R&D type of project, but very fast we realized that this type of project has a much global and much more bigger impact. And so we basically rename it into advanced manufacturing technology, because we just don't develop equipment. We develop the full platform or a technology where one needs to have equipment, processes, and also develop even a new type of applications, integrate materials, and all of this creates the technology platform. We rely on atomic layer deposition technology, which is well known in semiconductor industry. It's more than 40 years old. It has a recognition by leading companies like Intel, TSMC, and other, and they use this technology for high precision thin film deposition. But usually this technology used only for thin film deposition on a whole silicon wafer or samples. And what we did, we develop a selective area deposition based on ALD. We also call it atomic layer 3D printing. And when you bring this type of technology to scalable manner, like placing many print heads, then it becomes an advanced manufacturing technology.
Okay. Makim, let us first start understanding what basically is micro and nanoelectronics, because it is advancing with time. And there have been several upgrades, or you can say enhancement, to the entire technological part or aspect of this. So what are some of the recent developments in this field? And if you could shed some light with case studies or examples.
Yeah, absolutely. This field is... has a very long history already, since 1960s, and now it gains even more interest and more investments from leading companies, especially with the COVID crisis, when the global supply chain was broken. Everyone immediately understood that the semiconductor microelectronic industry is critical for the global economy and actually for the economy of the strongholds or the leading countries. So everyone now paying attention to this. Why this is so important? Because our modern society relies heavily on advancements in micro nano electronics. So even we now talk here because with the computer, the camera allow us to do this, the internet, and all of this relies on a high precision, very advanced electronics. And without this, we cannot talk. Like you are in India, I believe. I'm here in Denmark, and it would be almost impossible. Exactly. So this is the requirements for the modern society to survive.
Very true, very true. So what are some of the technological developments in this aspect, nanotechnology or nanoelectronics and microelectronics? There are more talks about skin electronics, which could be integrated within the skin that could be that thin. So if you could just highlight something about that.
I cannot highlight about spin electronics because I think for our technology doesn't have yet the touch to this field. I can highlight probably in other fields. I think the emerging fields which have a huge interest to use our technology, it's energy technology for batteries, for solar cells, for fuel cells, and you could see with electric mobility, with a new trend for electric cars, this is one of the biggest trends. Also the display and optic technologies, this comes with the mobile phones, with a new visualization devices, so with augmented reality, so this also a big, very big trend. You probably remember in 2008 there was a Nobel Prize for graphene, so which opened a new door for 2D electronic, which supposed to help break the Moore's law and bring a 2D electronic advancements and a new type of development. So actually this field is still emerging, and it still requires some advanced technologies, which I believe personally our technology can serve very well. We still don't have much progress with superconductors and quantum devices, and these two fields are very strong emerging fields, which if we can bring something scalable to print, to develop these two fields, quantum and superconductors, this will make a big leap for the humanity in general.
Okay. So you were talking about the application of nanoelectronics across various industries, and IoT, wearable devices, and electronic textiles. These are the three segments which see a huge adoption when it comes to nanoelectronics. Could you just tell us more about the application of nanoelectronics in these segments? What could 2022 have for this three categories when it comes to nanoelectronics?
Yeah, so IoT always relies on sensors. So you need to have a temperature sensor, pressure, flow, electrochemical sensor. You need to be able to print these sensors on different surfaces. So basically any surface can be sensitive, tactile in some way. And this field requires new type of printing sensors that can have a very high sensitivity or flexible. So I think, and this is already proved by industrial request, our technology can bring a very strong value proposition on developing sensors, highly advanced, high precision sensors for IoT applications, for embedded devices, for printed electronics. There are, of course, some challenges that we now tackling, but this is a short-term opportunity that already arises.
Okay. So what will 2022 have for companies working in this segment? I am talking about the providers. And say when it comes to opportunities, challenges, trends in nanoelectronics and nanotechnology field. in 2022?
Really good question. It's easy and difficult to answer because we're still in COVID crisis. You see that some countries are getting better, some still getting worse. So it's a little bit difficult to predict what would happen in 2022. I can see obviously the big request for local on-demand manufacturing of micro nanoelectronics. For us, I think this is a huge opportunity because we position our technology as on-demand manufacturing technology. Mm-hmm. So probably we would expect quite good growth and you know, bringing our technology to the market much faster. Mm-hmm. But that's the expectations. Let's see what would happen.
So any bigger challenge that you foresee, it could be from the governmental aspect, it could be from the physical aspect, it could be from the geography aspect that hinders the growth of nanotechnology, that could hinder the growth of nanotechnology in 2022. And what could the industry do to actually level that kind of a platform?
We all know that there is a global economic war between giants for the advanced technologies. I think this is a very high risk domain. There is also impact of COVID on the supply chain. There is also request from several leading countries to have localized high tech infrastructure. This brings as risk as well as opportunities. So I think the biggest opportunities probably come now in the US, also in Southeast Asia, particularly also in India, in Japan, in Korea. I think this is amazing time ahead of us. I'm only looking forward to see what would happen, but I would not predict so easily at this moment what would happen.
Okay. So, Maxim, let us also know, because you are a startup, you have seen all the ups and downs in the valley. You must have gone through the funding crisis. You must have gone through some of the other crises that would have come as a startup entrepreneur you would have faced in your organization. Could you highlight, say, 5 very effective strategies that startups in the semiconductor industry or electronics industry must undertake when they start their own organization or they are running through the crisis?
The biggest challenges in a startup, it's and it's also all according to statistics why startup fails, it's either the team doesn't work well together or money ends or there is no market demand. I had at the beginning some concerns if our team would work well together because we never worked before. We were remotely. Mm-hmm. Like I was in Denmark, my CTO was in Slovakia, our chief scientist was in Germany. So I didn't know how this would work. But because of Corona, because of the remote mode, and I think also everyone understood that moment that, you know, there is no better solution. So we accepted the reality and this worked well. Another lesson that we learned in a startup that you need to think it 2 years, 3 years ahead and project what would happen within this 2-3 years, particularly for your startup. So securing funding for this time frame. I think this worked also quite well in 2019 before Corona, that we applied for a number of different public funds and luckily for us, we were granted them. So we basically had the bandwidth for the current Corona times, even the next year. So that's that actually gave us a chance during Corona time to grow from 2.5 person to 15. So nice. Instead of declining, we had a growth path. that's actually gave us a very positive impression in front of investors that, okay, everyone tried to fire people. These guys are hiring and they bring in very interesting technology. At the same time, we're sitting at home, everyone accept by default that you can contact them by Zoom or by LinkedIn, and you can easily pitch to investors online or reach to customers, and everyone also accept this. I think during the traditional times, it would be much more difficult to do that, but this also played in our favor. So these three factors played quite well in our favor at this moment.
That's nice. I could say that the pandemic actually was very fruitful for your organization.
Yeah. it's weird to say, but yes.
Okay, you spoke about the various factors for startups. Could you just give one line wisdom, or you can say words of wisdom for startups that they should follow as a religion when they are a startup entrepreneur, and how they could do that?
I think it's very important to make a very good plan and structure of your organization and a plan for action, and then just act as it's the only plan and the best plan ever. Mm-hmm. Even if it has mistakes, don't think about that, because a startup, it's all about mistake, about failures. If you don't fail 90%, you don't make a startup. You make a very well-established entity or enterprise by according to some recipe. A startup, you fail, you learn from your failures very fast. It's very important to be agile, and you fall and you learn from that and you move forward. But you still need a plan. Without a plan, you cannot move forward, because this is something that gives you confidence that you are moving in certain direction. This also gives confidence to either this is grant rewarding entities, or this or investors. They all want to see where you're moving, what's your vision and what's your mission. I didn't understand this before, but during this startup, I realized that, you know, vision and mission can define a lot of things for the company, even in the first day. And if you have a great vision and mission, this can help you to move forward very fast.
That's nice. Every word you said is really wordful. So,
thank you.
Maxim, looking forward, we see that the entire world is dealing with the semiconductor crisis, and it is impacting a lot of sectors, maybe healthcare, automotive, electronics, all of them. So is there a way for the startups? Is this kind of a crisis opened up a lot of opportunity for startups in this space? And what could companies like you providing nanotechnology, nanoelectronics, help such companies during this time of crisis?
In a short term, I think it's quite difficult to provide a decent solution to these big companies for a few reasons. Usually these companies move extremely slow. We have some customers or big companies, partners that, you know, providing some elements to us within even 1 year, and it's very difficult to work in such setup, and you cannot move really fast. The solution here, dealing with much more than a few such customers and keep them in parallel, and then you always busy and you always deliver something to them, and then you also have a quite large selection of potential customers. What if you have really disruptive or really demanding the solution, I think these big companies they would move faster, but again, there is a danger that they can steal also some of your solutions and replicate this. So it depends. You need to be careful in understanding what are the motivation for your counterparty, and see if this is opportunity or a threat. So I think it's it depends case to case. For us, our technology is quite advanced and not, it's extraordinary in some way. So we see the mostly opportunities, but also we carefully see the risks. So we try to tackle both, but usually reaching potential customers and try to push our solutions to try to work as simple as possible, providing them easy framework to move forward. So that's, I think, why we got some interest and bringing simplicity, I would say.
That's nice. So, Maxim, would you like to add anything to our conversation apart from what we had till now?
Yeah, we live now in very interesting times. And we as a company looking forward what we can achieve further on. We now at the edge of a new stage, and we want to reach out to much more companies and investors and actually push this technology more to the industry. This technology is quite unique, and there is obviously some barrier for adoption, but I just want to ensure that this is, and I want to promise that this is a future technology that will reshape several industries. And I can only ask others to come to us and try it and see if we can help you with our solutions. I think we already got some track record showing that we can deliver some interesting solutions to others. And this comes actually because we bring some very interesting team that looking not for standard solutions and can solve problems in a unique way.
That's nice. All the best to you, Maxim, for Atlang 3D and its success.
Thank you, Anamika, and it's a great pleasure. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you for your valuable time and insights, Maxim, and we look forward to connecting with you again in the future to discuss more about the industry and the insights. And friends, do subscribe to our YouTube channel and press the bell icon to get notified whenever we upload a new video. Thank you all.